Yeah, we taking it old school right here. It's the Cool Herc and Grandmaster
Herc
Flash podcast.
and DJ Red Alert. Yeah, man, this is the Curtis Blow and Schoolie D pod, recording live from the bricks. Had some tech difficulties with the old school MacBook. So we switching it up a little bit, hitting some new positions this week.
Oh yeah.
Not all new positions are better positions, but
Oh no. But this is more of a nostalgic position. This is the old in the front seat of your mama's car back sophomore year high school type flow right here.
But we here, we had to, come drop in and we had to come drop the podcast pipe off because that's what we do. This ain't quite an emergency pod, so to speak. This ain't like when Jacquees proclaimed himself the king of R&B. However, this is a very seminal moment in the zeitgeist. So we did have to stop everything that we was doing, including having proper equipment to come and talk to you about that light-skinned nigga. So, before we get into that.
Look at me. Don't turn away.
So before we get into all light-skinned shenanigans, we're going to holler at y'all right quick. My name, Austin, a.k.a. Uptown Ace Boogie. Follow me on the socials, at Uptown Ace Boogie. My nigga on the other side of the interwebs, king of the three counties. You feel me?
You hear me? It's your boy Wes. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that Wes all over the place? Make sure you follow me, and make sure while you're following both Austin and myself, make sure you go fuck around and follow the Where the L's Twitter page. Show us some love.
Yes, indeed. And it has been.
And Instagram. My fault.
The IG too. Yes, sir. Yep, it has been a very interesting week, I would say. In pop culture, the last week and a half, there's a lot of shit going on. Your president is out here mandating vaccines.
Hey, man, that's my president.
Hey, man, nah, Joe doing exactly what the fuck he got to do while he can still remember how to do it. So, we got Steve coming back. My nigga Steve coming back from I don't know. Nigga said he was in college. If it was college, it might have been. I don't know, fucking Fort Valley State, potentially.
Well, not potentially, it's Fort Valley State Penitentiary. That's where he went to quote-unquote college for his master's degree. That nigga was in jail. But he's back now, you know what I'm saying? Touching our feelings, man. Getting nostalgic. Oh,
man. Hit niggas right in the feels, man. But man. It's a closure I never knew that I needed. You feel me?
Him leaving was a big deal. Then we didn't really realize it at the time, but it really affected all of us. And glad to have Brother Steve back.
Yeah, man. And it came back. He was like, hey, I just want to let y'all niggas know I love y'all niggas. I may not be there every day.
Your mama won't let me come over. But I still love you.
Lot of shit going on football season, starting and shit, which we might touch on a little bit later. However, nothing is more important. Well, other than the fucking pandemic. Nothing is, and the wildfires. And
there's more wildfires.
Hella wildfires. And the Taliban and the Afghani refugees and shit. I guess 9/11. I guess that's important, right?
Well, as long as you haven't forgotten.
Of course. How cool.
Never forget.
But real quick, speaking of 9/11, it's crazy because I read an article. I forgot who published it. It was behind some fucking paywall, and I had to use a trial to fucking read it. But they talked about how, like, Gen Zers process 9/11. And, like, obviously they don't have any concept or any actual memory of it. So everything that they know and they learn is through, personal accounts, through school, through, articles like that, through history books. And it's like, goddamn, nigga, like, Gen Zers 9/11 is like our, I don't know, the Berlin Wall falling? Like, you feel me?
I mean, yeah, it's like something like that, because they weren't there to experience it. They were too young to experience it, so that's all they have. Like, that's kind of how big events in history work. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened in Berlin, nigga. I don't I wasn't there when Mike's hair caught on fire. I just, but
Yeah,
good
man.
thing now. Good thing these kids nowadays they have like all these documentaries and shit in the
And
internet where they can actually
TikTok?
look stuff up. And TikTok obviously is the
Oh,
number one
God.
provider of information. But like we had to rely on textbooks and word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. You found out about important events because that shit spread through the neighborhood. That's it. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's it, the age of information is absolutely crazy. And it's also crazy that, like, I think about my niece who was not born when 9/11 happened, and she's now in college. So, in case
Yeah, that is wild to
nobody,
think about.
in case you weren't feeling old yet, here you are. But the 20th anniversary of 9/11 is coming up. That is Saturday, I believe,
What's that, Thursday,
as we sit
one,
here and
two, yeah?
record this. Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday.
So, you
So
know.
yeah, so turn up for never forget.
Never forget, obviously, very regardless of what age you are listening to this fine, inclusive podcast, it's obviously important never to forget something of that magnitude. So make sure, you know, you take some time, you know, say a little prayer for all the people that we lost and all the people that are still dealing with the health effects of that shit 20 years later, if they haven't passed away already. But with all that being said, again, there's one man. One waffle-colored man, one man with awful jumper and a plastic surgery body, some etched-on abs.
Oh, boy.
What? What, man? Hey, what did I say?
I just didn't. I thought this was a fact-based podcast. I didn't realize we were buying into the tabloids, or just going with what we hear. You know, so some hearsay. I thought this was a well-vetted and well-sourced podcast, but
He
that would be
apparently
my mistake in assuming that.
got somebody else pregnant, but
Hey, when you got that type of genius seed, you have to he would be remiss if he wasn't spreading it out amongst the world.
that man about to be out here spreading his seed like Nick Cannon. That nigga Nick Cannon literally said, "I'm going to have as many babies as I can in case I die soon."
I don't hate the logic, but I certainly don't get it.
Yeah, man. Nick Cannon's a wild boy. Who would have known that my nigga would have turned out like this after he made that movie about being the undercover cop? What was that shit called?
Oh shit. I
With
forgot
Robin
about that.
Sanchez? Yes.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah.
God. I completely forgot about that. But once he threw the turbans on, you gotta know what was up. What kind of path he was gonna go down.
But yeah, so we are here to talk about the biggest album release of, you know, shit since Scorpion came out. Honestly, I think the rollout and the build up to this was a lot bigger than Scorpion. You know, Scorpion came, it was only how long after Views? 3 years? 2 years?
18, it was 18. Views was, I want to say like 15, 16, somewhere around
Okay.
there.
Yeah. And you know, coming off of Views, you know, a lot of people don't consider it to be one of his better projects. So I don't think it was super highly anticipated, but since obviously, you know, since Drake first started teasing CLB, gosh, in January, I think.
Oh no, it was supposed to come in January. He teased it way before that. He had the commercial, like the little
Oh,
teaser video that dropped
right.
sometime in the fall. That's the one that said the January date. So this
Okay.
has almost been a full year of
Well,
anticipation.
in an era where it's very difficult to build anticipation, you know, because of streams and whatnot, Drake did a wonderful job of that. And because of that, this is one of the most highly anticipated albums in recent memory. I think the only thing that may potentially eclipse it is whenever Kendrick drops his shit. But CLB is here, finally, Certified Lover Boy, which is Drake's, let me count, one, two, three, four, sixth album.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's Drake's sixth studio album. It comes at a time where a lot of people, including myself, feel like Drake is at a little bit of a crossroads in his career. Not crossroads as in, you know, he's gonna fall off anytime soon, or he's not gonna sell 600,000 units first week every album, but crossroads in terms of how he wants to be defined for the remainder of his career. You know, he went through a period where, you know, like most young rappers, he was really hungry, you know, really, he was aspiring quite a bit. And he had a different type of flow, a different type of sound that was completely and wholly unique to the game. And he took that, and he patented that, and he shot it to the moon. But everything since Nothing Was the Same has been very different. Different in a, I'm no longer aspiring to success. I am successful. I'm here. So now you're going to get more experiences about me living my successful, lavish life than you are about me trying to attain the successful, lavish life. And in fairness to Drake, everybody, any damn near everybody except for Jay-Z, who sound makes everything sound beautiful. After you reach that point where you make it and you are there and you are arguably, if not inarguably, the biggest star in all of music, you after you lose that, after you lose that hunger, you lose some quality. I mean, Drake got to a point, especially, you know, around like 2016 or so, where he realized, I can literally put out anything. I can fart on a song for 3.5 minutes and it's going platinum. And the quality of his music definitely dipped because of that. So, you know, since the release of Nothing Was the Same, Drake's projects have been, I would say, mixed.
Mixed would be, it's a fair word. I'm not as kind of on the same page to say it's quality dipped.
It definitely did.
I don't think it's quality in general dipped. I just don't know if it continued to ascend. But again, once you're, like you said, once you're the biggest artist in the game,
mm-hmm.
it's because a lot of people can continue to kind of ascend musically and kind of grow once you're like at the top, but like not like the top, like you're once you reach that kind of echelon of topness. But Drake is at the tippity top. He's the peak of not just rappers, but he's kind of the peak of musicians.
Of music,
so. Yeah. It's kind of hard. I think it's kind of hard for him to kind of continue to kind of elevate that type of sound, which is why I believe, which I kind of agree with you, and which is he did feel kind of stagnant a bit.
Yeah, we'll say he plateaued, right? We'll put it there after, you know, being on a fucking rocket ship for the first 6 or so years of his career. So yep. Drake plateaued. So everything since. You know, whether it's views or if you're reading This Is Too Late, which again, me and you already talked about in the previous pod, good project for what it is in terms of giving you just bangers and just songs to just listen to and throw in your rotation. But in terms of its echelon of where it's ranked in Drake's projects, you know, his pantheon, his catalog, I think it's a little overrated. You take that, you take Views, you take More Life, which was a collection of songs and not a real album. You know, Scorpion. What else am I missing?
Dark Lane demo tapes.
That kind of don't count.
And I was it? Then he dropped the Care Package, but
and Care Package, right? So it's been, you know, in terms of and all that, it's kind of been a mixed bag. So, this album is, a lot of people feel like it is, you know, kind of a turning point. It's kind of a fork in the road. You know, what is Drake, now that Drake has not only reached that, you know, pinnacle, that top 1% in music, but he's been there for a while. So will we continue to see a Drake who is kind of resting on his laurels? You know, somebody who is jaded and somebody who's content with his success, or are we going to see somebody who wants to once again try to redesign the fabric of music and redesign his sound in order to continue cementing his legacy? So that's why COB's got really, really big fucking stakes. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that it disappointed. For real. I like it. I actually just listened to it again right before we started recording. And this was my favorite listen out of my first, I don't know, 8 listens. I like it, man. I don't think that we talked about on our last pod, I kind of said I think it will be a good project, but I still don't think it'll be that reinvention of the wheel that I think that some of us are looking for. And I think those expectations were pretty much hit. It's a good project. I won't say really good, but it's a good project. I can say I do think that is his best album or his best project since Nothing Was the Same, which is a very, very strong take, because a lot of people don't feel that way. And the critics don't feel that way either. It is actually his lowest rated and like critically reviewed project of his entire career. So it's a mixed bag. It's a little polarizing, but I can say that I feel like Drake did what he needed to do, but not necessarily anything above that. You feel me?
Okay. That's a good way to put it. So for me, I don't know if, like, when we talked about it last episode, I said, like, I wasn't really looking for him to kind of – I was looking for anything necessarily new here. Maybe some new kind of content, like, rapping-wise. Mm. But I wasn't necessarily looking for him to kind of change his sound or kind of explore new sounds. I just wanted a nice, cohesive, certified lover boy type – I just wanted a nice, cohesive project from Drake, because we haven't had just a nice, concise – project we've had the last few offerings he's given.
Well, this ain't concise.
I know, this is what I was looking for.
Okay.
So that was what I was looking for. That was my anticipations for when it came out. And then it came out. And I can say that I enjoy it. It's not my favorite Drake project. It's not my least favorite Drake project.
Agreed.
I think he's got the highs here are extremely high. And, like, with all Drake, the lows, I don't think the lows are really particularly low. Mm. I just think that there's things that I would have changed. But as far as a whole, I really enjoyed this project. Of my first listen, because I was turning up. I was pretty lit in anticipation of it dropping at midnight.
Yes, sir.
Then the news came. It was dropping at 2. And I was like, you know, I'm going to sleep. And I said, wait a minute, I'm just too lit. I'm just going to stay up. Fuck it. And it came around 1-something. And that first listen, I was ready to put it third.
I saw your tweets.
Yeah. At first listen, I was
you're
like,
a wild boy.
I was feeling everything. I had the studio beats on. I was hearing every background note, every little ad lib, and I was ready to put it there. But I sat with it a couple days. I listened to it different places, in different settings. And I would probably call this a maybe 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 7, 7.5, maybe with potential to kind of grow some, possibly like an 8-ish out of 10.
Yeah.
On my Drake project scale. Like, I'm not ready to say it's better than Views, because I liked Views when it came out, but then Views really grew on me as time passed.
Not me. Not I.
This nigga just don't like Controller. Controller's the song of the summer, and you don't like it. But, so this one is, I think it's a good Drake project. I think it was not necessarily what the masses were looking for, but this is something that Drake is kind of in a lane where he knows, like you said, he knows what works. He has explored in the past and didn't do a lot of exploration musically here, but he kind of stuck to what he knew and gave us enough bops to be satisfied, to be honest.
And that feels uninspired to me, you know, and I can't even say I was setting my expectations too high, because I just mentioned that my expectations were exactly what I got. I think fantasy, you know, my fantasy, my, you know, my wish was that Drake would have explored a little bit more musically, that he would have kind of reached into another bag. We didn't even get that much cultural appropriation, you know, other than Fountain, which is a very good song.
Tremendous song.
What would you
have wanted to see kind of musically? Like, if
and see, that's the thing. I don't know. And that's why I'm not a fucking artist. But but what I can say is I think that I think for any top tier artist, and it's not just Drake, you don't want them to seem bored. Drake seems bored. right now. And
I don't know if I would think I don't know if I agree with that.
It feels like he's living life and he's enjoying his life, but it feels like music is a means to an end to him and no longer his inspiration or his passion, you know? And this, of course, this is me speaking from a purely outside perspective. This is not me saying that he doesn't love music anymore or that, you know, he's incapable of making good music, because there's a ton of good music on the project. But you can kind of tell, especially when, you know, we've been listening to Drake now for shit going on. It's getting close to 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, you can tell when it feels like they're not all the way in it, or they're making music kind of out of a kind of an obligation to the masses and not because there's a spark lit within themselves. And Drake had a few songs on this project. Like I said, when I originally listened to it, I think it would have been a really good project if he would have cut 3 or 4 songs. But yeah. You listen to some of this stuff and it's just like, he's just going through the motions. But Drake is so talented that him going through the motions still gives you a very quality project. But for him, in terms of pushing himself, trying to find a new sound, a new inspiration, a new direction, any of that, we didn't get any. Not only did we not get anything new, but this album felt repetitive in a lot of ways, content wise. And even some of the songs that are really good feel like good shit off other albums.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that he sounds a touch uninspired. I would say more, it's kind of like that, but I would more say that he kind of knows his pocket. And for this project, I think he just wanted to kind of stay in his pocket. And that's one thing that I think it's going to have to take something to change for us to kind of get him, I don't want to say inspired, but kind of to explore again. Like, yeah. this project was kind of built and built up for a while and then got delayed. But there's nothing really changed with Drake in the time since we got Scorpion. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe something life-wise changes, or as life progresses and moves forward and new things happen, new experiences or whatnot, I think that can kind of lend itself to helping him change and maybe explore more sounds. But it's not super duper surprising that in the time since Scorpion came out, that this album isn't as kind of groundbreaking or even as different as we expected it to be.
And yeah, it's going to take some real life experience, I think, like you said, in order to really get some type of new content out of him. And a lot of times we get rappers give us a new wave or a new style or even a new inspiration when they take time away. And Drake's never really taken time away. So it's like, if you're not taking time away to really experience shit, then how can we expect anything new per se? And
like you said earlier, it's kind of the gift and the curse of Drake. It's that he's so good when he kind of like just kind of put stuff out, it's going to hit. Like it's tough for him to kind of expound and get greater when he knows that he's pretty much good money no matter what. And not to the fact that he's just good money, so he's just putting shit out, but it's actually good shit too. So he's in a weird quandary, weird place right now, as an artist. But I enjoyed the shit. I enjoyed this project is some shit that I'm gonna continue to play and is working its way up its my Drake echelon.
Yeah, I mean, again, don't get me wrong. Plenty of good songs. Plenty of songs is gonna stay in rotation. Plenty of IG captions. You know, plenty of things you gonna drunk text. You know, like it's typical Drake, but again, it kind of speaks to what is your level of fandom, you know, not just for Drake in general, mm-hmm. but what is your level of fandom for music? I think for a casual listener, this is great. You know what I'm saying? It's everything you need. You got, you know, in your feeling shit. Again, you got drunk texting shit. You got misogynistic shit. You got club bangers. Boy, do you have a club banger. You got club bangers. You got, you know, some bars sprinkled here and there. You got plenty of IG captions, plenty of shit to ride out to, not just during the day, but late nights too. Everything that you need as a casual listener. As a Drake fan, you may want a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? And as a Drake fan who's also, you know, just a music head, you want to get, not, you don't want him to reinvent the wheel per se, but you want him to continue to grow. And this album don't feel like growth. It just feels like typical goodness. And ain't nothing wrong with typical goodness, but it is not, I don't think it's anything that is going to be remembered in time as, you know, something special. But with that being said, you also have to pay attention to the fact that Drake now, it's just crazy because I think he's really the first artist ever, because of the time that he came in and the eras that he, you know, kind of transitioned from into being the biggest streaming artist of all time. Drake is somebody who, and it kind of felt this way with More Life, but it definitely feels like it now. I think Drake is more about creating moments than he is about creating really, really good music. And it's hard to judge that because he's the only person that's really capable of doing that on the level that he's doing it. So while the music itself, some of the shit's forgettable, some of it's skippable, some of it is, you know, stuff that is going to get a lot of play now, but you may not play it a lot 5-6 years from now. But what this is a moment. So even if people forget the individual songs on CLB, they're going to remember all of this hype. They're going to remember everything surrounding it. And it's hard to even wrap your head around that somebody would even have the power or the clout to be able to use their albums to create moments in pop culture. Like, I don't think CLB is going to be talked about in any history books, but the release of CLB might. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's kind of just crazy to me, bro.
Yeah, no, definitely interesting because that's what you can do, and that's what it is. We've seen him grow into the biggest artist in the world, and when you are the biggest artist in the world, and you have a project coming, the anticipation grows, and especially when that project gets delayed, and especially when this shit happens during a pandemic and everybody's home waiting for shit. And as they're waiting for shit, they're waiting for your project, and the anticipation grows, grows, and grows, and it's incredible. And I think as far as him kind of creating more moments than music, I can kind of see that. Mm-hmm. I still like I think he's still trying to make good music, and I think he does still make good music. And I don't know; it's hard. I can't really kind of put it into words. But I do sort of agree with the fact that what you said, him trying to create kind of moments more so than actual good music.
So let me ask you, as a Drake stan, as a number one Drake stan, somebody who would probably buy his used underwear off of eBay.
No, I don't have eBay. Maybe some other purchasing site.
What do you want out of Drake going forward? Because I feel like I talk a lot about what I would like to see out of him in terms of kind of continuing to evolve his sound and kind of push to another level. But what do you want? What do you expect out of him? And then what do you want out of him?
What do you want? What do I want? I honestly kind of want just at least once a world. Give me like at least an EP or something. Like, I just want some at least one project to just straight singing Drake.
I'm surprised we ain't got it by now.
Yeah, because I think singing Drake might be my favorite iteration of Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he's talented enough to get it done. To just give me just a nice little couple, like a handful of just straight R&B shit, just to let niggas know that if you wanted to truly be an R&B nigga,
mm-hmm.
in the truest sense of the fashion that you could be. But other than that, as far as kind of just musically throughout, mm-hmm. I kind of expect him to kind of continue to give us great music, whether it be this type of shit we're hearing now, whether he tries to explore with more sounds. I don't know. Maybe he wants to see what's popping with Portuguese dance hall vibes or something. But I think it's kind of hard for him to give, I guess, outside of sounds and just more life experiences and giving us some more. It's weird for me to kind of say this because, like, he's given us so much introspective shit. Like, we know almost everything about Drake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know how he grew up, how he felt when he was growing up, how he was kind of teen almost, and when he started interacting. Like, we know pretty much everything about him.
We do.
So, moving forward, I guess just kind of keep rapping about his experiences now. I don't know if I necessarily want him to, like, oh, I'm a dad now and all this dad shit. And eventually,
who wants that?
Yeah, like
you don't care about that little nigga. Come on now, stop it.
Yeah. I say we'll see. We'll see how he grows if Duke needs a guard in some years. But I don't know. It's tough to kind of see that because, like, the one thing I was looking at the other day, because I think I saw a tweet about it, something like that. It's like, we need Drake to put out something like, we need Drake 444 or some shit like that.
Ew.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't want that from Drake. Too, yes. And Jay-Z put that out when Jay-Z's 75 years old.
Yes,
so and is the baddest woman in the history of the game almost left him. So it's like, I just want Drake to kind of give us more experiences of what he's going through. Maybe a touch more experimenting here and there with different sounds, but ideally just kind of keep on this path. Like, I'm happy with what he's giving me, pause. I don't need him to be the groundbreaking Kendrick type of I need super duper flows and the weirdest sounds here and there and there. Nah, just keep kind of doing what you do, and I'll be happy pretty much regardless, honestly.
Yeah, man, and I would like for me, and I know I give Drake so much shit, but for me, I think the reason why I want to hear something that's a little bit more, that's the thing. It ain't even like introspectiveness is not the issue. He's always introspective, even when it's like not the best quality of music. I want something from him that's a game changer, because I want him to be remembered well by people who did not grow up listening to him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the way we talk about the Beatles are trash, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Beatles were the biggest pop culture phenomenon arguably ever, right? And you go back and you listen to their shit. They got a couple bops. I can't take, I want to hold your hand. I can't take that shit away from them. But for the most part, they got a lot of shit that don't age well. And again, the Beatles was out fucking 50, 60 years ago, sure. But like, not even, necessarily the next generation, maybe the generation after that. Somebody who are going to be, they're going to be born 20 years after Drake's career is over. When us, their grandparents or great grandparents, go back and throw on Heat of the Moment for them, or fucking Jungle, like, I want them to be able, just like we listen to Motown shit, I want them to be able to go back and listen to some old Drake from 2021, from 2025, from 2030, and be like, wow, this nigga is the shit. I see why he has an entire wing in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and not, wow, why the fuck did y'all niggas listen to him? You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that I worry about is that aspect. And that's legacy-wise. That's as a fan of music and as somebody who, I don't know, tolerates Drake. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I think he's already to the point where it was going to take a lot for him to kind of fall off or even be viewed like that. He's done a lot of shit, dog. He's got a lot of timeless shit as well.
He do.
And considering, what is like I said, it's almost been 15 years of us listening to him. And a lot of, like, only the greatest of the greats kind of have this type of longevity and plus. And I don't see, like I said, it's going to take some skibbity boop bop bop type shit for him to kind of lose his fastball. So I think he's going to be remembered well. And also, he has more slaps than the Beatles. So I think he
does. He's going to be more. Very, so very good point.
This whole God, don't score Zeke. Don't score Zeke. Tackle that boy. Okay, good. I got the game in the background. My apologies.
No need to apologize. It's fucking football season. But real quick, you know, before we move away from CLB, I want to go through some of the individual tracks on the album.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was waiting for.
Because we got some shit to go over. So,
yes, sir.
Start from the top. Champagne Poetry, another typically strong introspective Drake intro. Drake is, again, I think he's firmly number two behind Hov as the greatest intro rapper ever. But as he continues to set these bitches out, he gonna get closer and closer and probably surpass him at some point.
I honestly, I gotta review.
Don't you? No,
I gotta review my all my Hov intros. But yeah, I gotta review all my Hov intros because December 4th was technically the second song.
No, okay.
No, but Drake is the current king of the intro, and that was another strong one. I didn't like it at first, but I've kind of it grew like pretty much anything. Pause. A lot of these songs that I didn't like kind of growing on me. No pause pandemic. We're in
cool. No, yeah, because pandemic's still going. Right. So Champagne Poetry, good song. He finally gave us a little of that social commentary that me and a lot of other people have been asking for. And you know what? After hearing it, I don't need any more social commentary from him.
like I told you, what I'm talking about, like, there's we don't need this.
Nah, bro. So yeah, you
I'm
keep that
a
shit.
Fool. Niggas wild like they is in Kabul. Like, we don't need that.
it was excellent after the beat change, which is a theme of this album. Number two, Poppy's Home. Just a fun braggadocious track. You know, we always talk about how, you know, our favorite version of Drake is, you know, shit talking Drake. And and he definitely did that. It wasn't a lot to the song, but it's just once again a catchy record where, you know, he's letting everybody in the industry know that they are his sons, and indeed they are.
Yeah, and a tremendous sample. And yes, that might indeed. Be I say like the last minute of that song, probably the most out of anything that's come out so far.
And Daddy's home.
Look at me. Don't turn away. Yeah. I can't wait to send this to the group once I'm running shit in 2K and the Fantasy Football League. I'm going to let y'all know Daddy's home as well. So prepare yourself.
All right, motherfucker. Well, I'm looking good right now. You feel me? Shout out to Dak. You feel me?
Hey.
Shout out to that Dak.
shit out of Jack.
I think.
Poor
I
child.
Think... I think what's my
they was whooping his ass.
What's my team name? Oh, it's Once You Go Dak, ..
Oh boy.
So that's the type of trash that I'm on. Speaking of trash, number three.
Hey.
This
is where we're gonna disagree right here. Go ahead.
I'm about to make a strong statement, bro.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
Girls Want Girls is garbage. And it hurts my heart because I have never heard a Lil Baby song that I've disliked. Any and every song that has Lil Baby on it is at least decent, except for this one. I think, bro, it is up there for one of the worst fucking songs that Drake has ever made.
Wrong. Charlie Murphy voice.
It is
honestly,
so, it's lazy as fuck. It's lazy. Not, yeah. The beat's not good. The bars are corny.
Oh,
it's,
the beat is hard.
No, it's not really.
The beat is a very good beat.
No.
I won't disagree. It's lazy. it's not the best Drake we've heard. Honestly, this is just literally just if he changes one line in the chorus.
Come on, bro.
It's a fine song.
Nigga, how does that make it past quality control? Huh? How?
Maybe he asked Adonis for some input.
Man, I mean
Adonis told him.
That line is bad, but I mean, I just think the song as a whole, man, it's just like, this is what I'm talking about. This is that fucking complacency where you can get a Lil Baby feature and be like, nope, let me phone it in. Nope, I'm good. And
I like this song a lot, man. I'll be humming the shit out of
this was a song that I felt like was positioned to be a single, but because of the backlash, I don't know if that's gonna happen.
I don't know if this was I don't know if it was a single.
Come on, bro. It's number
talking
three.
About girls where I'm from.
Yeah.
I think
that's what that fucking arrogant prick thinks he can get away with.
It's a solid song, man. Baby said he'll never drive his coupe to the party because he's trying to leave with two of them. Come on, man.
That song's bad.
That's rap shit.
That song's bad, and I knew that you would be too blinded, you feel me, for your intense love for Aubrey to ever look past how bad of a song it is. But that's
and Dominique. Don't worry. And Dominique, but baby came too.
That is sunshine level.
Listen, it's not sunshine level. I really think if he just changes the one line, it's just a fine song. But I can use my empathetic ways to kind of see where you might be coming from.
So if I had to compare Girls Want Girls to a Jay-Z project, it would be Unfinished Business.
Seems unfair.
It would be Unfinished Business. You know, the one where the bad man got pepper sprayed by Tata. Oh, that was Tata, right? The pepper spray?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So please, we'll move on from that. If this was the old days and, like, I've actually physically put songs on albums, you know, in my iTunes library, I would just remove that from my memory altogether. Number four in the Bible.
Once we have our imaginary hangout with Adrian, you better not dance. You better not bop to it at the club.
Once again, Adrian doesn't exist. The Matrix 4 trailer just dropped. None of that shit is real, just like him. Okay?
You were exactly. I'm forgetting.
God damn it. Adrian, if you fucking listening, nigga. Come on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen. Do it. Do it. All right? Let's go, God damn it. Anyway, number four in the Bible, it is Nice and Toxic, which is obviously a theme of Certified Lover Boy. It's catchy. Got a strong Dirk feature. Giveon did some shit on there, too. I don't really like Giveon's voice. Hot take. But I think it's a good record. I definitely fuck with it. Love All. Huge themes of loyalty, betrayal, fakeness, burned bridges, which is another reoccurring theme, all on this album. Drake is rich as fuck and influential as fuck, and he only hangs out around top-tier celebrities and Drewski. And
Drewski's included top-tier celebrities, but go ahead.
He's getting there. Yet he is surprised that people are fake to him and don't have his back. That's the type of shit I'm talking about by phoning it in. That shit is canned, bro. Like, yeah, all right, you're a big star. Niggas are fake to you. Get over it. I don't want to hear no whole album. Man. I don't want to hear no whole album talking about, I can't believe niggas didn't have my back, and y'all had blah, 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 and I'm just, oh my God, I'm so rich, and I'm so cool, and I fuck everybody's bitches. Yeah, don't nobody want to be my real friend. Come on, bro. That comes with the territory.
Wow, it's just having trying to... World's most exclusive podcast to tell niggas to tuck their feelings and be phony. Never thought I'd see the day. But this is still a lot of it is geared toward that one guy.
Mm.
And I get it. Again, like this is what you're living with, nigga. You're the biggest nigga in the world. Mm-hmm. And this shit keeps happening. You gotta rap about what's happening. This is one of the songs I love. This was one of the leaks that I've had for a while.
Yeah.
There were a couple songs that were leaked early that made the final cut.
Did it have Hove on it, the leak?
No, it didn't have Hove. Okay. It had the back end was him singing Nice Little Some Fire shit, too. I thought they were going to keep that on there.
Mm-hmm.
But this was my favorite of the leaks. I posted it a couple times. And I'm glad it made the album, and I'm glad Hove, they had the Hove.
Hove got back in that bag. Started talking that stick talk instead of that, instead of that 5%er shit.
That art talk.
We needed that. So, overall, it's a good song for sure.
What was I gonna say? Shout out to Drake and Hove, man. Hove has been on every album, I think.
Wow, I didn't think about that, but I think you're right.
I really thought about that like a couple hours ago because I was like, yeah, this is good here. But I was like, yeah, this is just like the one on the last album and the one on the album before that and the one on the album before. Because Light Up was the first. Light Up is technically right.
Yeah,
it was Light Up, then
Well, he
Actually,
wasn't on Take Care.
He wasn't on Take Care,
was not on Take Care.
But everything else he was,
He definitely was.
Album-wise, yeah.
And speaking of, which is weird because they got such a frenemies-type relationship, so it's funny that they always seem to find their way together. But Twitter hot take that I saw, you know, somebody was going through first listen to the album, which is another point that we didn't bring up in the overall talk. There's people that's really fucking with CLB, and there's people that's just like, this is garbage. And I will say a lot of people are saying it's garbage seem to be Kanye West fans. So that's obviously gonna skew things a little bit, but like, I don't think I've seen, this is the most negative backlash that, I don't wanna call it backlash because a lot of people like it, but I feel like this is the most negativity surrounding a Drake album that I've ever seen.
I would say this hasn't been the best received. Mm-hmm. You also remember it's a lot of these bots out here, and it's in Twitter's nature to call everything classic or trash. There's no in between.
That's it.
There's no nuance whatsoever.
Zero.
But this is definitely the least well received so far.
For sure. But one of those takes was, it was this Drake and Hov song is kind of weak, just like fucking Light Up, and I was like, wow. There's actually people on this planet that think Light Up is weak. Light Up is a top tier Drake song for me. I didn't know that there were people who actually call themselves music fans that think Light Up was weak.
Triple entendre. Don't even. No. Yes, yeah. That's stupid. If you think Light Up is weak, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I almost said something very problematic, but you're just stupid. Okay, that's a dumb take.
Yeah. What was the song on Scorpion? It was
Talk Up. Talk something. Yeah.
Talk Up was fine. You know, it got the job. It got the job done. It was no pound cake. But yeah, man. I think Hove and Drake is a great frenemies. Not only did they say in that same tweet, not only did they say it was weak like Light Up, they said it was weak like Light Up and Off That, both of them.
Drake saved goddamn Blueprint 3.
The Blueprint 3.
I didn't save it, but that's a terrible take. Block that person.
So, you know, I was kind of skipping around. Fair Trade was good. I thought it was a good fine. Use of Travis. Number 7, Way Too Sexy is the song of the late summer / fall. Way Too Sexy is crazy, bruh.
Listen, this is the inflection point of everything I've seen on Twitter these past few days. Mm. Some people hate this fucking song. Others love it.
Yeah. I don't see what there is to hate.
I don't know. I don't get it. You say anytime you give me Drake and Future and Jeffrey, or is he? I think he's sex now. I think he's still sex. But anytime it's Drake Future, I love it.
Nigga's JR.
Then you had a JR Thug, and that's a hit for me too. The Right Said Fred sample hits. I was like, where are they going with this one? And then as long as Future starts talking about everything he's too sexy for.
Man, listen.
It's one of the ones for me, man.
Right down to Kawhi in the video. It is a strong single. Strong, strong single. It's going to tear up. And that's what my little homie Chris, shout out to Chris. He was saying that song is going to get more plays than a lot of shit on Donda combined. And that's the truth.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll be honest, bro. Like, even like as a nigga who now hates Kanye, even as somebody who could try to be objective, like you gonna listen to Donda because you like Kanye. Like you're not listening to Donda because it's great music. It's not. And when it comes to Drake, we've been talking about it all pie. He don't always make great music, but he makes great moments. And Way Too Sexy is a moment already. This shit's an NFT. You feel me? And we only not even a week in. Well, we're a week in the end now. But, I mean, from Kawhi in the video to flipping the Fred sample, I mean, nigga, I'm Too Sexy is one of the goofiest songs of all time. But TM88 made that bitch sound like It is God sent.
Well, it is God sent to begin with. Anytime you got to tell these hoes and these niggas what you're too sexy for, it's good money with me. But nah, they did their thing on that, and I really like it. And I don't get the backlash to it. It's gonna be one of them ones that you're gonna hear for a while, man.
For sure. We gonna keep going. I'm gonna say something real quick on TSU that I feel like you're not gonna like. It is the prototypical Drake ballad about a college age girl. He needs to grow up. So.
Yeah, this was another one of the songs that leaked a while back. It was not around on the leaks. He did add the verse at the end, but yeah, this is just some Drake shit. This is for Texas, man. Let him get his Texas predatory shit off.
Oh my god, it's shit's bad. Like, nigga, you are old and you still rapping about college bitches stripping and putting themselves through college. Come on, nigga, stop. Stop it.
Well, that's at the strip club. You're not the strip club with AARP card. These young hoes in the strip club. He's rapping about what he sees and what he lives.
Move on. That brings me to Into Deep, a goddamn banger. We got Crooning Drake. It reminded me, it had a vibe of Something Off Nothing Was the Same, which I really enjoyed. It has an excellent sample. Sampling one of the greatest songs of all time, Get Throat. It was good before the beat switch, amazing after the beat switch.
Yeah, I just wish that he had given Future a little more latitude.
I agree.
Future could have gone off a little bit more. But yeah, this is kind of the Drake and Future combo that we've come to expect. Just two coming together, talking that toxic shit. Over some lush beats, and Future said he got some bad bitch that's gonna fuck him for his AP.
For his AP, god damn it. So move on. Pipe Down's great as well.
Pipe Down is one of the ones.
I think it may be my favorite Drake song on the album, or my favorite song on the album. We got two of my favorite Drakes, Soul Bearing Drake and Put All Your Cards on the Table Drake. When you get that, KBB, undefeated.
Mm-hmm. How much you gotta spend for you to pipe down?
Oof. Yeba's Heartbreak, a beautiful fucking interlude.
Yeba's Heartbreak might be my favorite song on this whole shit. Honestly,
that shit goes dummy.
Shout out to Yeba. She's dropping. By the time you hear this, she'll have dropped her debut. Yes, she earned a fan with me. This was beautiful. The keys. I don't know if 40 or this some other nigga James Francis played the keys, but whoever did that, did they motherfucking thing, man.
They did that shit. No friends in the industry. I feel like it's most tuned in with the Drake that we've been hearing recently. We talked about a lot of the Drake that we've been hearing in the run up to the release of CLB, and I feel like this was kind of most in line with that. It's catchy, kind of in the vein of a back to back type of thing. I won't say it's a standout. Like, I don't think it's a top five song on the album, but it's damn good though. Knife Talk. Whew. Well, when we saw the track list, came out and we saw the billboard, hey, Memphis, Project Peta is on the fucking album. I was overjoyed. This was the feature that I was most excited to hear. I'm so glad that Drake has the Memphis roots because he be showing goddamn love to the city. Project Pat is one of the most underrated rappers of all time, and I'm really happy that a whole new generation can get exposed to him and kind of get his flowers. Because coming off of Project Pat, the only thing better or as good as Project Pat is hearing 21 Savage rap in Project Pat flow. Special record.
Nah, Project Pat is one of your favorite rappers. And it's nice to get some actual love instead of like maybe just like a sample flip or something that we've heard before. This was glad Drake reached out. 21 did his thing. He's been killing features for the past, 2 years or so now.
21 is incredible.
The bloke be doing it. And this was a really good song. I was a little skeptical kind of going in. Like, I didn't know what exactly it was going to be. I knew 21 would go off, and I knew Project Pat had the ability to go off like he does. But it turned out to be really good. I really enjoyed the song.
Yes, even though I feel like Drake almost ruined it. I feel like he phoned it in again, and we you know, it took away. It made the song a 9 instead of a 10. So,
Boy, I only passed by this much to this one. He hit up her, and do the urn. You've never done the urn, so I understand.
7 a.m. on Bridal Path, another typical Drake numbers song. You know what standard of excellence to expect out of that. That's him at his full lyrical peak, and he gave Kanye some motherfucking bars.
That's the one, Daddy O. That's the best song on the album by far.
Yeah.
At least to me. Like you said, once Drake looks at his watch and looks at his Apple Maps, he goes off. And this is one of them ones. One of them. I think this is one of the better Drake location time.
Location time. Hey, coordinate songs. Yeah.
The Drake longitude latitudes ones. Gave Kanye some shit. Kanye gotta get his shit together and before he ends up on a Gildan.
Oof. Before he ends up on a Gildan. Shout out to Gildan. Yeah. Those teeth stink. So, 7 a.m. on Bridal Path, fire. Raise My Mind, I feel like it's like the obligatory like drunk texting song. It kind of felt like Thank Me Later Drake a little bit, which I definitely appreciated. I didn't need it though. Like when I say that we could remove 3 or 4 songs from the album, I think that could be one of them.
I really wasn't like on the first couple of listens. I wasn't feeling it. At least on the very first listen, I wasn't feeling this at all until the beat switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I felt like after the beat switch was hard. The first kind of half of the song I could kind of go with or go without, like you said. But this isn't it's a song. You know what I'm saying? It's not one of the better songs I hear. It's just a song.
If you wanted to trim it a little bit, to kind of make a more perfect album, I think that would be one that's on the chopping block. Fountains, we talked about a little bit earlier. We finally got some appropriation Drake. It took track 16. Very surprised that it took that long. But good song. That's, again, the obligatory Drake dance track. And I think Fountains is going to have a good run. It ain't no one dance. It ain't no controller. But it ain't even Take Care. But it's a good song. And I was happy to hear Tim's on it. Did her goddamn thing.
Yeah, this is one that it was just a song at first, but as it's grown with me, this might be one of my like top 5 songs on the album too.
It's a good one.
This almost extremely because of Tim's, like the two women
Tim's killed it.
That were Tim's killed featured on this project went crazy. Yeah, but went crazy and Tim's went crazy.
Only two women on the album about misogyny, man.
How many women did Your King Push have on My Name Is My Name? Exactly.
He had Kelly Rowland. That was one.
Was Brooke Valentine on there? No.
Get Along Better, Drake and Dolla Sign. What else do you need to say?
Get along better with your
soulful as fuck. Is this the first Drake and Ty Dolla Sign song?
No. He was on After Dark on Scorpion.
He was on After Dark. My fault. I only think about Static Major on there. That's it.
Oh no! And then he also provided some backup vocals to Jaded.
You're right. No wonder those beautiful records. Obviously, no misses there. After Dark is my favorite song on Scorpion. So, obviously, no surprise here that this ended up being that fire. Another one that I feel like can go, despite the luxury rosé bars, You Only Live Twice can skate to me. I didn't need it. It didn't add anything to me. As much as I love, I think Ross and Drake is the best combination in rap music that does not have a collaborative album together.
Correct.
But I didn't need it. I didn't need it. It was a fake Live Fast Die Young beat. And Wayne just be talking.
It went crazy on this beat. This was probably my biggest surprise of the album, to be honest. I've been Ross. This was a regular Ross verse for me.
Yeah.
Drake kind of just did like a regular Drake verse here. But Wayne, this is one of my favorite Wayne verses in a long time.
Wayne has been energized lately. I don't know what drugs he's been on, but Wayne has been energized as fuck. He hasn't had too many bad features other than that fucking Polo G song he was on. Other than that shit, Wayne has not had a really had a bad feature since the pandemic started. And that's coming from a nigga who we have not cared about in 7 years at least.
Yeah. So and that's why this was the biggest shock and why I actually enjoyed at least his rapping on here, man.
No. Wayne been rapping. I did not like the first half of the verse. I thought he was just talking, but he really kind of picked up steam as it went on. But he's again,
trying to speak to pussy niggas.
I can live without that. I miss you too. Very glad to hear see Cuddy and Drake back together. You feel me? After kind of a extended absence. What did they fall out over? What was the?
I don't remember, but I do remember the bars that my nigga shot at you, boy.
Yes, I do.
Two birds, one stone.
I do, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that one fucking bit. Talking about my nigga's mental health issues.
Then you want to go ahead and champion the Braid Man.
No, that's why it was okay. He opened himself up to them shots. You feel me?
Now it's all related. Everything is theory of relativity.
Because he want to be a bitch. But Drake and Cuddy, when they're on good terms, they have good chemistry. I really like Drake's flow on there. He was in a really good rhythm. I didn't like it the first three or four listens, but it's starting to grow on me now.
This is one of them ones for me. Kind of initially, like I've really been a huge Cuddy fan. But this combination with the beat, they were riding. He did Day and Night was fine. Nah, I used to fuck with Cuddy. And so I told you once he dissed Wale, I've never forgiven him for that. So this was a good combination for them. The B was real good, and they both did what they had to do here.
Yeah, good record. Fucking fans, it's a solid song. It's again the beat switch. Drake had some sinister beat switches on here, and there was not one song with a beat switch that was not fire as fuck afterwards. I didn't need fucking fans, but it doesn't mean it's not a pretty good song.
That's the thing here. Like, even the songs that we're kicking off, I agree. Fucking fans didn't really need to be here.
Yeah.
But that's not to say it didn't deserve to be put out somewhere. It's a playable Drake song. He had to let us know that he was fucking up when he was fucking fans. I get it, man. I'm trying to get there once the podcast blows up. I'm waiting for the fucking fans episode that I'm gonna drop.
stay on the look. The lookout for our Patreon that will include plenty of sex content from Wes. The Remorse, and good outro. Drake is, he may not quite yet be the king of intros, but if you want to go intros and outros together, I think he may be.
If we combine the both, then it's not even close.
Yeah. So good record. Overall, like I said, man, I enjoyed it. It kind of gave me what I expected. I wanted a little bit more, but I'm not mad at what we got. And it's a moment in time, man, and we're going to continue to play the fuck out of it, continue to make Instagram captions about it, and it's going to continue to be the themes of, the fall, the winter, and probably the spring, too. Well, at least until Kendrick comes out, then the narrative changes. So...
So many bars, consciousness. But no, this is definitely. I'm glad we got to kind of experience this kind of all together, like as a community, as a people, and like Drake shit. It's gonna live for a while, especially with the highs we get on here. And it's like we talked about earlier. It's a good solid Drake project that's gonna tide us over until Kanye says something disrespectful, and we finally. I'm praying to not just my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but to Allah, all Buddha of them. Buddha. Yeah, I need that diss that Jay Prince said we can't put out.
I thought that was aimed at mostly Push. It was aimed at
no.
Kanye?
That's the Kanye one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why they're saying like nah. They were saying like this would destroy Kanye's career. Oh, please. Drake's, put it out. Drake's not really with Push. Push just kind of stepped up. But Drake's issues with Ye.
His issues with Push now, nigga. The fuck?
Ain't with Push, man. The issue, because the whole Push thing wouldn't happen if Ye wasn't sitting and being weird.
That's fine. So, but after a nigga beat your ass in front of a crowd of people, you can't be like, oh, no, no, no. I just wanted to fight your nigga. I just want to fight your nigga.
Yeah, trying to fight your big homie, cuz. We worry about you, dude. You're an approachable dude. Whatever Trey
said. Real quick, you mentioned earlier, you know, got the game in the background, NFL time. Real quick, my nigga, run through it all. Who are your division winners? Who's your NFL MVP? And who wins the Super Bowl? All
right, division winners, I don't care about none of these divisions except the motherfucking NFC East. Where Washington football team will either win it or finish second. It doesn't really matter to me. As long as we make it to the playoffs, which I believe
we're going
to
make it to the playoffs. It's going to be fun when you finish third.
No.
I see another strong 7-9 season coming, bro.
Again, I can understand how you would give that advice, seeing as your team just came in third. Washington's gonna win or come in second. We're gonna make the playoffs in the division. We're going to win the NFC Championship game. The AFC's got a lot of heavy hitters going on. Because of Baltimore playing the Creek Challenge, so I think they're going to be done.
Oh, bruh. You know what? I don't feel bad for them, but it's still unfortunate, you know?
No, it's terrible, man. You lose your top three running backs
sucks.
In like 2 weeks. That's crazy. Know,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but that's a better opportunity for your Cleveland Brownies. 14-3. What is a Brown?
Huh?
What is a Brown?
A brown, it describes
it's
a lot of nigger. Things.
That's what I thought. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's a Mourinho.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Negros.
You asked.
I did ask, and I guess it was answered. y'all looking good. I do think the Chiefs are still the team to beat in the AFC.
That's fair.
And we'll be until Pat Mahomes retires.
Ooh, Blue Jays sweep Yankees. Yikes.
Football season. What are you talking about? I think we're gonna be a nice Chiefs football team Super Bowl. And just like last year, that defense is gonna hit Mahomes upside his weird talking head. And your NFL Super Bowl champion is gonna be the team from DC, you know what I'm saying? With Riverboat Ron leading the way, Fitzmagic's old ass. Wearing other people's clothes to press conferences.
I'm not
Terry and his kind of weird shape up. It's like a circular.
I love him. Leave him alone.
Oh, that's my son. but I still got to comment on shape ups. You know, I'm the shape up guy here. Working on my thesis from last episode. I think it's going to be a fun season, but I do think my team is set up to, if a couple things break the right way, we can actually fuck around and win a Super Bowl.
No, for real. Come on, let's get serious here. Like,
alright. So honestly, I think if things break the right way, I think my team can fuck around with Super Bowl. All
right, Red Hogs, Red Beards, Red Bellies. Yeah, you know what? If I was y'all, I wouldn't do nothing that involved red. I feel like that's a little. You still kind of toeing the line, if you ask me.
I can see that. I think I've seen a list the other day that Dan Snyder's wife, who he hired on to help clean up just some of the
he hired his wife to marry him.
No, not to marry him. She's in the organization now.
Oh, okay.
She's doing something or other. But yeah, she put out a list. I think there was only one red something that ended up making like the final eight or so.
Might as well just go with the red engines, you know.
I think that's taken. but no, it's we'll figure it out. I think we're coming. I think we're gonna announce that at the end of next season. But I'm excited for the boys. I ain't been as excited for the gang.
In the next season? How the fuck it take y'all 3 years to find
this
a year. Name?
End of this season, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Going into next season.
All right.
You know how we gotta get the whole type of licensing and all that shit. I don't know, man. I'm not a executive operating officer. But, yeah, I'm excited for the gang. I ain't been excited for the gang in a while. We got the team that could be somewhat special, as opposed to your team of physical assaulters.
Who else? Drunk drivers. you know.
Niggas who all up in the commercial videos. Niggas who be running from the police.
You know, yeah.
Niggas who be dancing to weird flutes and xylophones. That's all the same nigga, by the way. Who else stinks on your team?
We ain't got a lot of stinkers, my boy.
You got a running back named after a penis. That's weird.
and our other running back's a domestic abuser. I know. Keep it going.
I forgot about this man. This man kicked a white woman on camera. Yeah, NFL is a terrible place.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah,
we all know it's bad. It's really bad.
We had a pod that when we talked about, I said I thought Kareem Hunt was done. You were like, absolutely fucking not. And look where he ended up.
No. We talk about it all the time. It's well known the NFL stinks. But the NFL really fucking stinks, man.
And people walk proudly up and down the streets of Cleveland in Kareem Hunt jerseys.
Oh, absolutely. And the NFL stinking is just a microcosm of America. If you can do something good, no matter what the fuck you do, you still get to do what you are good at, which is crazy. But who else stinks on your team? Who's on your defense? Miles is a physical assaulter.
Yeah.
I don't know your linebackers. Schobert, is he still there?
No, he's with the Steelers now, actually.
I don't know any of your linebackers.
We got JOK.
JOK, he's a didn't earn his initials yet. He stinks.
He didn't earn his Jocks Club initials.
No, he's definitely he's on something. He's not on something. Whatever. He's not on whatever. He's not on whatever yet.
Oh man, shout out, man! One of the greatest songs ever made.
Oh, that is the first pass. That's some rock and roll Hall of Fame shit right there.
Well, imagine them niggas at the induction, like the end of the Temptations movie.
Oh my goodness!
And I would be there front row.
Man, you know, I'm in there crying, just tears streaming down my face.
Oh shit!
They can perform right after the entire city of Cleveland does Ratchet. My nephews, my sons, niggas.
Oh man, my nephew
Carl Joseph.
It's called my whole sisters, nigga. No, our safeties are Grant Delpit and John Johnson.
From the Rams?
Yes.
Well, that's a stupid. That's the most slave owneriest name I've ever easiest I've ever heard. So he's
all right. All right, man. No, John Johnson, bad boy. So what it come down to?
Yeah, he owns slaves. Yes, of course, he's a bad boy.
My eight division winners. Let me see. Buffalo again. Let's see. The Chiefs. The Cleveland fucking football Browns, and the Titans. You feel me? I don't think it's gonna be much variation. On the other side, I'm gonna go with not you niggers.
That's fine.
No, actually, I think y'all got a decent chance, to be honest. I think it'll be very close between you and Dallas. Could go either way. The West, I want to say Seattle, but I'm not positive on that.
They're always weird.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. Up north, it's going to be the Packers again. It is what it is. A lot of times it usually comes down to the South, and the South is normally what kind of leads the pack in the NFC to let you know how good the NFC actually is. And I don't know how I feel about the South this year for the first time in, I don't know, a decade. Other than the Bucks, who are going to be right there, obviously, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints could all be ass. I can see.
Yeah, they all stink, but the Bucks are going to be really good again because they brought literally everybody back.
Yeah, so Super Bowl, I hate to say it, but I don't really know who's going to challenge the Bucks right now, unless Seattle makes a massive leap or some shit. It looks like the Bucks probably going back just, you know, off of GP, and they will face the Cleveland Browns. So I will save my Super Bowl pick
Wrong.
For a later date. I will save my Super Bowl pick for a later date. But
I would hope you do because it's wrong right now. So yeah, I would imagine that you would use better judgment. So go ahead.
You ain't say who your MVP was.
Who does things? shit. Who won MVP last year?
I have no fucking idea.
So, yeah, I can tell you all the NBA MVPs back to fucking
Mahomes again.
George Mikan.
Was it Mahomes?
Mahomes. I don't think it was Mahomes. Maybe Rodgers, I think.
Yes, it was Aaron Rodgers. Correct.
Yeah, I can. I see. Like I said, NBA MVP. I can tell you all the NBA MVPs that have ever existed. NFL MVPs. I can't tell you shit.
The NFL MVP is going to be the Nick Erection. So, here you go.
Yeah, yeah. They're gonna give it to him for rushing for 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Whoa! He missed. He missed 6 fucking games, and ran for that. You bitch.
Yeah, he's gonna miss 6 games this year too. Who's even good? I don't know. Maybe Russell Wilson. I don't know. He's due. But yeah, NFL MVP. It's weird because it never really goes to the best player.
No. In a pandemic year, it can only go to one person: unvaccinated Josh Allen. All right. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Not right on, hitting on the nose. Yeah.
Him
and Cole Beasley, Cole MVP.
Oh, God. In lieu of L's of the Week, we want to take a second to discuss a tragedy because we all took a major L with this one. Woke up a couple of days ago and saw that, man, one of the most underrated actors of an entire generation, black or white, whomever, Michael K. Williams passed away from a quote-unquote drug overdose, which a lot of people are speculating may have been tainted fentanyl or cocaine laced with fentanyl. And I know we joke about fentanyl and stuff a lot of times. Wes calls me Mr. Fentanyl. However, this is something that is the opioid epidemic and everything else is pretty bad, but now, man, fentanyl is infiltrating even the safest of recreational drugs. Nigga, they putting fentanyl in weed, my nigga.
I was about to say, man. Yeah, I've heard some stories about fentanyl being in weed now, which is
crazy, bro. My thing is, I know it's something, and I'm not extremely well-versed in this, but I know it's something that is used to, you know, cut product less like anything else, but I don't understand what the benefit of cutting it with fentanyl, especially like cocaine, of cutting it with fentanyl is, because it's like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's very potent, but like it's not cheap either. It's not like using baking soda.
Yeah, well, I'm not fully versed in
not baking soda, but using like, you know, fucking plaster and you know, other shit that usually gets cut with cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's yeah, I'm not fully aware of everything fentanyl. I think it's some sort of also like an opioid type painkiller.
Yeah,
type of drug too, but it's just super, super, super potent. Mm-hmm. So, like, I know we've all seen like the pictures of like a penny. And you could see just a couple light dusting of fentanyl, and that would be the fatal amount that you would need to ingest.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's just continually, I think it's made in China, it's being shipped here, shipped to Canada, and then brought in and up there, and it's fucking things up, man. For not just black people, not just art. It's fucking things up for everybody. Especially with this country's dependency and amount of opioids and prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. The fact that the fentanyl can just be mixed in or sprinkled on top of shit virtually unknown. Mm-hmm. It's super dangerous. And it's tough out there because we're not here to tell you not to do drugs. Get it how you live, but it's the risk is now is higher than ever of just whether you get it intentionally or whether you just happen to get a bad batch or whatever you're doing. It's scary, bro.
Yeah, man. And again, losing a lot of celebrities, you know, who, you know, people, not even necessarily people like Michael K. Williams who struggle with addiction, but just people, again, who just use shit recreationally. You know, I've been in a lot of different situations. You know, I got people, you know, who I wouldn't say I'm particularly close to them, but acquaintances that I, you know, party with and shit in the past who, you know, that's their bag. You know what I'm saying? They be on that, you know, anytime we pull up, like, where's the fucking blow? You feel me? And that's not my bag. I never tried it, don't plan on it or anything like that. And again, this was way before, you know, fentanyl was really discussed, but that's the type of shit that makes you think like, nigga, I don't know where this is coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like on top of the fact that it's a fucking narcotic. Shout out to our boy. Wherever, whatever remote place he's in right now. But it's that you don't know where this shit's coming from, bruh. Like, it's not just like, hey, here, take this blunt, take a hit, whatever. Like, you know, it's either some mid, some reg, or some loud. This is like, hey, man, I don't know where this shit was processed. I don't know where it was cut, what it was cut with. I don't know none of this shit. And you putting a lot of faith in motherfuckers that you don't know or care about just to, you know, run around and bounce off the walls for a couple hours. And that ain't it, bruh. And then, you know, it goes deeper than that, obviously, to the people with real addictions, because heroin right now, all heroin is fucking fentanyl. So.
It's tough, man. And that's the fact that it's so pervasive. And all it takes is that little bit and you're fucking out of here. So that is kind of it's a scary time to kind of be in the scene or be involved in whatever you're involved in now, man. It's rough.
Yeah, definitely,
And we
man.
got to see allegedly we saw the loss of one of the greatest actors of our time behind this shit.
Yeah, man. Michael K. Williams, you know, someone who's had a very public battle with addiction over the course of his life. Actually, and unfortunately, you know, he just recently did an interview discussing Lovecraft Country. And you know, when you're a method actor of that level, you know, of that depth, there's no way that you get into a role like, you know, the role that he had as Montrose Freeman and don't end up taking some of that home with you or taking all of it home with you. You get what I'm saying? And you know, obviously we saw it with Heath Ledger. We've seen it, you know, with Joaquin Phoenix and all different types of people. People lose their fucking minds when they got to get into a character. And Michael K. Williams went to some dark places. You know, shit, when you're dealing with fucking like the deepest parts of Jim Crow, as was discussed on Lovecraft Country. On top of that, you were playing a closeted gay man, a closeted gay black man during the Jim Crow era. The things and the real life events that they had to tap into, you know, including a complete fucking reenactment of the Black Wall Street bombing, which was again the second show that we've seen in a span of 2 years that has covered that event. That shit will fuck with your head, man. And it took him to a dark place, and unfortunately, he couldn't get out of. And it's awful to see because how many people, you know, we talked about it with DMX, and he was friends with DMX. How many people do we see die for their craft, or we hear them or see them translate their pain through their art? And Michael K. Williams was definitely one of those.
Yeah, and this was something too, like if you want to watch like interviews with him kind of coming up as he got famous, like really through the wire and shit. Like he said he's been dealing with substance abuse kind of his whole life. Specifically he said like there were points when they were filming The Wire where he would actually be running around Baltimore. Like I said, they said he moved down there and he was kind of running around the streets of Baltimore. Getting this different types of shit, man. So it's just kind of sounds like a combination of everything. But it is tough, especially the kind of acting that he did, where he was so deeply involved and deeply involved in becoming these characters that he portrayed to us. It's it puts a strain on some people, and it's a shame that he. I'm not gonna say that the method acting kind of caused this, but it's a shame that that strain, that struggle, potentially could have led to this.
Absolutely, man. And it's just another prime example to give people their flowers while you can. You know, we make a lot of fun of Nori. Child of Nori. But Nori, you know, is someone who literally created an entire podcast. Well, to give people their flowers while they can, while they're alive. And that episode that he did with DMX very shortly, I mean, I think within a month of his passing was beautiful, because it felt like, it felt cathartic, and it felt like, in a weird way, a proper send-off for him. You know what I'm saying? And we don't get enough, people don't truly get their flowers while they're alive. And even as we continue to say this and we continue to press this point, it still doesn't really happen. You know, I had a loved one pass away recently, this past week. You know, my grandfather, who was not actually my biological grandfather, but he married my grandmother long before I was born, and he was there with me in every capacity through my entire life. And I feel like he did not truly get the flowers that he deserved before he passed as well. And even though he knew that he was loved, and he may have known that he meant something to us, he may have passed not knowing exactly. You get what I'm saying? And so this is not something that, you know, stretches just through, you know, entertainment. This goes to everybody. And it's something, again, that we hammer and hammer and hammer. But please, for the love of God, I'm pleading with y'all now. Take that time. Make that phone call. Make that trip. Tell people you love them. Tell your niggas that you love them. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is obviously the most inclusive podcast on planet Earth. You know, get off that homophobic shit. Tell your niggas that you love them. Tell your family that you love them. Tell your friends that you love them. Tell, you know, that teacher, that mentor, that, you know, that artist, that whomever. Tell them that you appreciate them. Tell them that they meant something to you, or that they mean something to you. And moments like this are going to continue to happen, unfortunately. Life is a lot of times a set of tragic circumstances. But just because things like this are going to continue to happen doesn't mean that you can't adjust your thinking and adjust your mentality to make sure that every moment counts and every second with the people that you care about is something meaningful. So, you know, as we get closer to signing off here, I just want to say again, Michael K. Williams, thank you. Thank you for everything that you've given us. I think I said in a tweet, the only thing that you need to know about Michael K. Williams is he was the best actor on The Greatest Show of All Time. So that tells you everything that you need to know about that man and his craft, outside of any of his personal struggles. So thank you for creating a character, a timeless character, one of which we have never seen before and will probably never see again. And captivating audiences in a way that is almost indescribable. So thank you to you, Michael K. Williams. Thank you to all of the celebrities that we have lost recently. Thank you to just the regular people that we've lost recently too. And, you know, to people like my grandfather, we are sorry if you left this earth without truly, truly knowing how special you were. But we hope that you are listening right now and you can feel that love that's permeating through us. So that's all I got to say. Wes?
Nah, I said, like, you said everything eloquently enough, man. That's because life is so short. Yeah, it is. It's your obligation to let those around you know that you work with them, you love them, you appreciate them. Because you never know what tomorrow brings. And as I get older, it's, you know, that was something that you dismiss as a younger person. Oh, well, there's always going to be tomorrow or time. People say, oh, time flies, but you never really get that until you get older and start experiencing life to a certain extent. Now,
Yeah,
this
man.
shit flies by, man, and it's unpredictable. It's chaotic. It's beautiful. It's everything. So yeah, I do like personally. I've in the past kind of year or so dealing with everything we've dealt with in the past year, I've done a better job of kind of reaching out to people and letting them know how I feel about them. But I can always do better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And kind of to speak to Mike, it's rough losing Mike K. Williams, man. Because Mike, like you said, Mike was a stud, man, and everything he was in, he pretty much stole the show. The Wire, he was great, man. Boardwalk, he
Chalky.
was incredible.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones, the Night Of. He was you could tell like the stature actor he was, or right? He was viewed as. HBO was pretty much the premier, one of the premier content providers of television shows of the past 20 years. And
Absolutely.
anytime they had a big ass show that needed a black person, Mike was that call.
Period.
So that kind of speaks to, like you were saying, how big he is. But man, and losing him, it's a lesson in that shit is short, man. Nothing is promised, bro. And I appreciate you doing this podcast with me. I appreciate you being my brother
Oh, man.
for many years now.
Yeah,
And
man.
hopefully we can be an example here on this podcast that kind of how to share love, how to tell each other you appreciate each other, and just be good motherfuckers, man. And get the fucking vaccine.
yes, all facts, man. Like you said, I've kind of felt in the same boat that, especially over the pandemic, I've gotten a lot better with, kind of reaching out and giving people their flowers, but I can always do better. There's always, for every two people that you reach out to, there's five that you're forgetting. So, for everybody, man, again, for you, man, I appreciate you for being my brother, my co-host for damn, shit, nigga. We mentioned on, I think, the last pod that this is the longest we've ever gone in our adult lives without kicking it. That lets you know
Yeah.
that lets you know, despite the fact that, niggas live hours and hours away, that, the brotherhood always persists. Even for niggas like Adrian, who act like they're bigger than everybody else, that brotherhood, man, that love is unfucking breakable. Corey, you too, you drunk motherfucker. I love y'all, bro, for real, man. And everything that y'all add to my life, even in the tiniest bit, to the tiniest degree, I'm thankful and I'm appreciative of. So, hopefully that love will lead to some fucking money.
In due time. I told you, I'm really getting my fucking fans pot off. That's the new goal. So it's coming. Believe that.
Hopefully to some goddamn bread. That's all honestly, that's all I'm really worried about, nigga. So, I mean, shit. We can play this lovey-dovey shit, until the ends come in. Then you're out of here and you're getting replaced with, I don't know, Ish and Ice maybe.
All right, then it's me, Parks and Joe. Okay, we'll just do the old switcheroo.
but yeah, so signing off here on Beware the L's, myself, Uptown Ace Boogie, my partner ain't at that at ain't that Wiz. Follow Twitter, Instagram at Beware the L's. Like, rate, share, subscribe, retweet, tell a friend. And not only tonight, tell a friend about the podcast, but tell a friend to tell a friend how much you care about them. And we'll leave it at that.
That's right. Wash your hands too. We out.
That's it.